Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Even though we celebrated the Reformation last Sunday, today's gospel will sound very Reformation-oriented as well. Because as we get into these final chapters of Matthew's gospel, especially Matthew 20 through 25, the chapters leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, we hear Jesus speaking of the things that would happen both after his resurrection during the lifetime of his apostles and also afterward, even up to the very end of the age. In today's gospel from Matthew 24, Jesus covers the entire New Testament period practically, from the destruction of Jerusalem that was coming in only about 40 years from then, all the way up to the destruction of the other Jerusalem that would come at the end of the age. And what's the other Jerusalem? Just as there was a physical Jerusalem, and there still is the city that, or at least the remnants of it, that has been rebuilt, so also there is a spiritual Jerusalem of which Scripture speaks. The spiritual Jerusalem that is the Holy Christian Church. And that spiritual Jerusalem of which we are part, Jesus speaks that a tragedy would befall it over the ages leading up to His second coming. It's tragic and it's sad what Jesus says about the New Jerusalem, as well as the Old Jerusalem, the physical one that is still in Israel, because the apostasy and the destruction that would affect the physical one will also affect the spiritual one leading up to Christ's coming. Our text is full of sadness, full of tragedy, but also, of course, our Lord Jesus covers us in His love as well. And His loving kindness gives us the way of escape from the destruction that would come upon both Jerusalems. Jesus mentions in the gospel the abomination of desolation. An abomination is something that God hates and despises. And the word is used throughout the Old Testament to refer mainly to idols and idolatry. It causes desolation. It wipes out the land. It wipes out the worship of the true God. Of all the abominations that took place in the land of Israel, even by the people of Israel, the last one that would affect the earthly Jerusalem was the abomination that would be set up in the temple in Jerusalem following the resurrection of Christ and the day of Pentecost. When the gospel would be preached in Jerusalem, and for a time some, a remnant of the Jews, would still listen. But that time drew to a close. And closer to the year 70 AD, the Jews, since they rejected their heavenly Savior and wanted instead an earthly Savior to save them from the Romans, God gave them over to those very Romans, and Jerusalem was destroyed, even as Jesus predicted on various occasions that it would be. But all who heeded the warning of Jesus and His instructions, let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, were spared from Jerusalem's demise. But a time of great tribulation, as Jesus called it, did come upon the earth at that time. Not just in the destruction of Jerusalem, but in the 250 years or so that followed it. Because while the Christians became refugees of Jerusalem, they fled from Jerusalem before it was destroyed and the wrath of God was poured out on it for its abomination of idolatry. Still, they had a cross to bear in this world, and the tribulation of those days when the Roman Empire brought its persecutions and its destructions against the Christians themselves, killing many, many Christians and shedding much innocent blood. That great tribulation that went on for some 250 years was very difficult. As life usually is for refugees of any kind, fleeing from the place that they used to call home, destruction, chaos, confusion, instability, uncertainty, it filled the lives of the Christians in the first 3 centuries after Christ. Even so, they held on to the sure hope of Christ's forgiveness and the salvation He promised, the resurrection of which He so often spoke. They rejoiced in the midst of it, but their life on earth was the life of a refugee. Now, according to the promise of Jesus that He gave even in our gospel today, those days were cut short. Even 250 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, seems like a long time, and if it had gone on much longer, as Jesus says, no flesh could be saved. But He cut it short, and under Emperor Constantine there began an age of relative peace for Christians here on this earth. The great tribulation of that time came to an end. But in our gospel, Jesus speaks of His second coming at the end of the great tribulation, and Christ hadn't come back in the 4th century AD. So the Christians had reason to look at Jesus' words and understand He wasn't just talking about a physical persecution. He wasn't just talking about the physical city of Jerusalem and the temple that is the holy place. Or that was. Matthew 24 still has a spiritual fulfillment that must take place. Christians should expect another abomination of desolation to be set up in the holy place, in the holy city. Now, the days of earthly Jerusalem's importance are past. It will never again be called by God the holy city. And the holy place will never again be located in a Jerusalem temple. The holy city is now the holy Christian church. And the holy place is the hearts of Christians whom God has sanctified for Himself through holy baptism. As St. Paul wrote to the Corinthian Christians, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." The abomination that would be set up in the Christian church and even rule in the hearts of Christians is summed up in the Roman papacy. We've known that now in the Lutheran Church for nearly 500 years. It doesn't matter who the Pope is or what his specific emphasis is or how different he is from other popes that came before him. He represents all the false doctrine that man has introduced into the Church and desolated Christendom with it. So that what now fills the world under hundreds of different names and denominations and doctrines and practices is no longer the great united church that it once was. The teachings of men have obscured and darkened the doctrine of Christ and the work of Christ and faith in Christ, that all have sinned, that Christ has come and suffered for all sin and risen from the dead, that God offers forgiveness of sins and eternal life to sinners for the sake of Christ alone, apart from human works, through faith. The fact that God sends His ministers to call all men to repent of their sins and believe in Christ Jesus and His promise that the Holy Spirit will work forgiveness of sins life and salvation through word and sacrament. That is the simple gospel. Wherever human works are added as a cause for God to forgive someone or let them into heaven. Wherever sinners are directed to seek peace with God apart from Christ or apart from His means of grace. That is of the devil. It's an abomination in the sight of God. It causes desolation, devastation within the Christian church. Well, the first Lutherans recognized that abomination within the Roman church. And when their efforts to bring Reformation to Rome failed, they realized that they had to heed Jesus' words here in our gospel and flee to the mountains. To flee, not physically now, but spiritually, at least mainly spiritually, to flee from the Pope's doctrine, first in their hearts, and then with their feet, if necessary. They couldn't, in good conscience, remain under the Roman bishops. They couldn't hold on to the earthly safety and prosperity that came with loyalty to the Roman Pope. They not only had to leave the safety of Rome behind, they had to be continually living as refugees. Refugees of Jerusalem, refugees of Rome, continually watching out for false prophets and false Christs whom Jesus said would still come, who would distort the gospel and get them to turn their eyes away from Jesus and away from His word and sacraments. Fleeing from Rome was not a one-time thing for them. It was an ongoing way of life from then on. And the life of refugees is a messy business. As I said, full of instability and confusion and uncertainty. So it is also for us, still today, nearly 500 years later, as Lutherans, we have fled from Rome, but our fleeing is not over and done. Our refugee status has not been removed, nor should it be, nor can it be until Christ returns. We are still living in this great tribulation that has followed. But this tribulation is not so much about external things. It's certainly not about political things. And with any elections that happen this week, that is not the main problem that Christians will face, who is running the country. The great tribulation is much more dangerous than that, much more insidious than that. It's a spiritual persecution that isn't so obvious to our eyes. This great tribulation has filled the world with false doctrine so that it's difficult to see the true doctrine of Christ amidst all the false. The false doctrine has filled our country, it's filled our world, it's filled our culture. And to be honest, our country as a whole has never known true faith alone, word and sacrament-based Christianity. It's always avoided parts of that, especially the word and sacrament part. The spirit of Antichrist still calls out all around us, come back. Come back and sit, and don't let doctrine get in the way of your coming back. Let's unite around other things, as the current Pope recently said to a gathering of people who called themselves Lutherans. Don't let the doctrine of Christ get in the way. Come back and work together with us on more important things, like helping the poor, like doing charitable work, or helping sick, or helping refugees, or preserving the environment. That's what the current Pope wants us to come together over. Just a different version of the same anti-Christian behavior and doctrine that's been around for a while now. But the Spirit keeps calling out to come back and come and have the safety of Jerusalem again, have the safety of Rome again, have the safety and security of the big church again. Think of the things you and your children are missing out on by your picky doctrinal positions. Think of all the good you're failing to do for the poor and the oppressed by remaining in your tiny little church. That's all part of the Great Tribulation. And it's the life that we, refugees of Jerusalem, refugees of Rome, will continue to live until Jesus comes again. We're constantly surrounded by false prophets who are always shouting, either come back to Rome, or here's Jesus over here. There's Jesus over there. Over there in the desert, by yourself, away from organized religion. You can be a church unto yourself, you'll find Jesus there. Or over here in the inner rooms, in the inner room of your heart, in your feelings, in your emotions, in your dreams. That's where you'll find Jesus. Do not believe it, Jesus says. You won't find Jesus attached to Rome or its Pope or to the big synod or the big church of any kind. You won't find him out in the desert or all alone by yourself apart from his means of grace. You won't find him in your heart or in your prayers or in your imaginations. You won't find him on earth except as he comes through his Spirit, where two or three are gathered together in his name. There he is in the midst of them by his Spirit, where his word is rightly preached and his sacraments are rightly administered. There is Jesus, there is his church, there are his elect, living the life of refugees until Christ comes again. And when he comes again, there will be no doubt about where he is. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. The eagles don't think to themselves, let's go find a carcass over there. Or over there, let's go find a carcass. Instead, they're flying around. They're constantly flying around without knowing where the carcass will appear, waiting and watching until it does. Then they know where to go. Then they know where to gather, and they do gather there. Such is the life of Christians living as refugees of Jerusalem. We don't expect to find Jesus in Jerusalem or in Rome or in any human institution. And so we cannot be permanently tied to any human institution, including this church building, including this diocese of which we are a part. Instead, we follow where the word of Christ is preached in its truth and purity. And then, when Christ appears in the clouds with all his saints, we will fly to him and gather to him to, as Paul says, meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. For now we remain refugees of Jerusalem, but not refugees without a Savior who is constantly with us by word and sacrament and by his Spirit, guarding us and keeping us and leading us to eternal life when he will come and take us to be with himself. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.